President. Mr. Colson is calling in and wants to know if you still would like to talk with me.
All right, fine.
Thank you. There you are.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Well, how'd you get along?
Well,
I got a report from Alderman, and he said that you came back pro-Semitic.
Well, it changed my attitude, not at all, to its the domestic variety.
I know.
Species is
they're quite a people, aren't they?
They really are.
They're disciplined and strong and really very, very, very outstanding.
Well, they've got a nationalistic spirit that I envy. You know, I just wish we were as strong as they did. And they have they're very, very firm in their anti-communist feelings.
Bet your life.
And they're just going to fight like hell to preserve their country.
You're right.
I put my money on them. Boy, they're well disciplined. I must say, Mr. President, that it would be a great thing for any American to go and talk to people either in Israel or anywhere in Europe. Your stature among people abroad is just extraordinary. Communists, you know, so
yeah, particularly there, I think.
the Romanians, just among, of course, all that we were exposed to with the leader groups, but we didn't really.
Yeah, well, that's all you can ever see.
People in the street very well, but
never.
You know, I took some of your little pens with your signature on them, and that just they'd fight.
Yeah.
They'd fight over it.
Is that right? Yeah.
But it was, and of course in Israel, I think what we read in the campaign is absolutely so, that you're the most popular man in the country. They just are so strong. I can see why a lot of the American Jews came back and were in our corner. But it was a great trip. I appreciated the opportunity to see places I hadn't seen and do things I hadn't done. It was a good change for me.
Well, it's a good thing to get out, you know, after all that, and you get back here, and, you know, you got to get away from all the cigarette and Watergate and all that stuff, and you find it. The people in the country thinking about, and the world are thinking about different things, aren't they?
They certainly are, very different. Well,
right.
3.5 years of being inside, it's which it had been for me, and not having traveled at all, it was damn good, because you just do get a different perspective.
Right.
Although you miss being in the middle of things, too. But there's nothing quite like travel, I must say. That's
right.
It's the best education there is, and you come back feeling that much stronger about your own country when you see how other people do live. I must say President Ceausescu has got enormous regard for you. My Lord. Tremendous admiration. I did not ask to see him, but he invited me in.
He did. I know. Well, that's good. Well, he feels that, you know, which is true, that we talked before I was elected in 67. He saw me then, and I've had him here, and he's grateful, you know, it builds him up, too.
Oh, sure. He asked me to go. It was interesting. He asked me to go on television when I came out of it. He's quite a politician, you know. He goes to, if there's a natural disaster, he goes to it, and he likes to build his own political base with the people. I mean, he doesn't just rely on the power of the communist system. And asked me to go on television when we finished our meeting.
Is that right?
So it's kind of interesting. He's tying himself onto your coattails. It was kind of like one of our senator congressional races. But it was a very good trip. And as I told Bob, you do get a completely different feeling when you come back and see the jackassery that is engaged in this town. My God almighty, this is way back, and there's the Washington Post. Big picture of Comback and Chapin, and you know, as if that really had any consequence, and yet that's all that.
Well, that's all they're interested in, but they're right for a while, and
well, you're killing us on the issues that are important, Mr. President. I'm convinced that you have the country.
We'll get, of course. They're going to have a field day. They're building up this urban, like to build up. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
And they're doing the same thing so that he'll have his day. And it'll be 2 or 3 months of crap, and that's we'll survive it, though.
Oh, hell yes. I really think whatever damage has been done by that issue has been done, and I think you can... I really think they can overplay it, as a matter of fact. They may just go too far with it.
Well, they're going to push everything from executive privilege to probably...
think the one that would make a stronger case for them would be Haldeman, Ehrlichman, or maybe or Chapin or someone like that.
That's right. Well, perhaps Chapin, the three top are tougher, but Chapin would be the easiest.
Yeah, that would be the easiest for them to get to. The,
yeah. But he had guys to talk to about anyway.
But the basic question is it's still a political issue.
Right.
Very deeply rooted in our system of separation of powers.
Right.
And I would, particularly this court.
From a public standpoint, they don't understand that. But the public standpoint, it's we've got to play it in a way it doesn't appear like any cover up, which it isn't.
Well, but see,
we're willing to make statements and all that sort of thing, but we're not going to go down and have testimony.
Well, Gray has helped us enormously in that regard. I think I read in Europe, of course, the dispatches and the wires and the Paris Herald Tribune.
Yeah.
And I thought Gray was making a complete ass of himself. I got back, and I still don't think he's handled it very well, but I think there's a great virtue in what's happened with Gray, because what now can be said is, look, my God, there's nothing left. We're not hiding behind anything with executive privilege. That's a very important principle for the president to be able to have his own advisors, as judges do, as congressmen and senators do, because we've made everything public. We've made volumes of FBI files, and unprecedented. That's never been done.
Yeah, raw files, incidentally. That's bad, though. It's that fact that we've done it. My God, the American Civil Liberty Union is right for once. The raw file should never be, because that's just gossip, hearsay. It's unbelievable.
Well, of course.
But anyway, it's done now.
Well, I think, as I say, I think Gray made a hell of a mistake in the long term. The utility of the FBI has been damaged. I know damn well. I told them, I just candidly answered questions. I'd think twice. If you thought it was going to the Hill, that's quite a different proposition.
Sure. If you thought you were going to be tested, you're making it for the Hill. That's right.
Yeah. Because if I'm talking about the inner workings of the White House, and I think I can talk in utter confidence, FBI Hill, you would think twice. But nonetheless, it does have the virtue.
Right.
Mr. President, of putting you in the position where we can say now, well, my God, we did this unprecedented action of making the FBI data available.
Right.
And there just isn't anything else. And the only thing else that would be left would be a TV spectacular fishing expedition, political in nature, and that we're not going to permit.
That's right.
I think I can help on the outside. I've talked to Dean about building some of this back pressure.
Well, it seems to me that I read this piece in the Post this morning about ridiculous pieces about some kid that they'd hired to go out with demonstrators and they were pretty, they call it peace groups. Christ, they were doing more than that. They were pretty violent.
Yeah.
And I just wondered what in the name of God has happened to all the material that we are supposed to collect it on the everything from the convention, which was violent, to the San Francisco, to Los Angeles, to the Liberty thing, and so forth and so on,
Well, I went over...
That's the kind of stuff that has really got to be getting out some way, because we know that came directly from their headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
We know it, and we just don't get a word out on that.
See, Mr. President, that's the double standard of the Post. I don't know if you read the Star today also, but he saw that piece on Hartke in the Star, where he's been using... political money for personal, really for personal use, in the sense that he's been
not
political
surprising.
Funds for maintaining his office and raising more money.
A bit surprising.
No, it isn't. But that was one of the leads that we put Bob Wallace onto. Now, he breaks that story today. That's front page of the Star.
Yeah.
But I bet you that doesn't get picked up in the
networks
or the wires, because it's hard. And yet here's a kid who's paid $100 a week during the campaign, and they make a major story out of it. That's
right, which he should have been doing. I mean, after all, if we weren't trying to put people with the demonstrators, we'd be damn fools.
Exactly. Well, Dean has a wealth of research that he's put together. I've told him that I'm going to go to work on.
You can help. You got to do a lot of this on the outside. Basically,
right.
It shouldn't come from the White House. That's the problem.
Well, on this sensitive issue of the Watergate, anything the White House does. It's going to be caught, and it's got to be done on the outside.
That's right.
I simply have to work but I can do both. I can do a little bit on the public side myself.
Sure, no problem on that.
Dan Bradley's agreed to debate me before. before the national press. Like he's out of his mind.
That's right.
He doesn't back. He may back out.
That's all right. Have a debate.
I will do it. Oh hell, he says.
You've got, but you can be well prepared and
well, he's
very moderate and all that sort of thing, and just say, well, that's the fact.
Yeah, he's a very weak guy. I'm amazed that he put himself in that position. But
How did that come about? The press club asked the two of you.
The head of the press club is a very close friend of mine.
Larrabee.
Yeah. The president of it, and he kind of cooked this up and talked to me, and I told him sure, and then told Bradley that he didn't think he could get me, but would Bradley be willing?
Yeah.
He conned Bradley into it. Larrabee's a daughter works for the national committee, and he's solidly our man.
I know he's very, very well. You know it's interesting the mileage we get out of a radio talk, particularly now. You see that stuff on the capital punishment. Of course, it's a major issue, but Kleindienst had already said this. But I rewrote the whole crime speech. The damn thing was one of those things where we just went through a namby-pamby. You know, we recited the statistics and spent two or three pages on how much Jaffe's office is doing to rehabilitate and all that. And I said, the hell with it. And it's basically a damn good speech. It's hard line, strong.
Marvelous speech.
And the mandatory sentences for the rest. Now, most criminologists will agree with both of these approaches. But by God, you can't have Rogers. I got Rogers on my side. And he called for the execution of those people that killed that ambassador, and the poor fellow. I said, Bill, we can't ask for them to execute somebody, and we put Saran in jail.
That's right.
And, and the country's for it, too.
Oh, my God, I think you...
Today it's more than they were, because, they've been shocked by some of these things.
That's right. That's right.
Don't you think so?
Absolutely. The Arab, the skyjacking and the Stennis thing, I think, had one hell of an effect. As Simlinger told us, that was very much in people's minds. Now, you delivered that speech with a great deal of feeling. I listened to it yesterday. I thought it was damn good. And I love a couple of cracks you took at the judges.
That's a kind of a phrase that I had to write in. But this, not judges, but just probation officers, too, where I said, soft-headed judges and probationers. Now, that's the thing to hit them with.
Well, that's something that everybody who hears that, Mr. President, immediately, they identify with it. If you get into a sophisticated discussion of rehabilitation programs, people go to sleep. But you talk about soft-headed judges and probation officers, and people say, God damn it, that's right.
They've all read these stories about the second offenders that the judge or the probation officers, or rather than the judge, turns somebody loose after a couple of years, and he's out there doing it again. And they say, well, now why did they allow that? See?
Well, the irony.
I believe in it. I'm totally for compassion and the rest, and if a guy has good behavior and the rest, but at the present time, they've gone hog wild on that, really hog wild.
I think they have, and I think I think it's kind of ironic that it ran, that you gave the speech yesterday, and it ran today in the papers so well, right against the story of how some of the judges are being soft on returning draft dodgers, which I just think is kind of, that I love it, because what that does is make people mad again over the amnesty issue. And keeps that issue very much in the forefront.
Yeah.
And I noticed Agnew hit it well while I was gone.
Well, it's the amnesty issue. Some of our POWs, a few of them, are indicating that they're willing to have it, which is good for them to do. I mean, that's decent. But on the other hand, most of them are saying, hell no. And as far as the people are concerned, they see these guys and they say,
Have those prisoners had an impact, Mr. President? I don't...
I think they've had a great impact. And now, whatever the others do, the networks and the press are scurrying around. They're trying to find, out of the 200 that are out, they've only found about five that have taken any other line. And they've had a hell of a time finding them.
Well, and the other point is, even if they find them now, they'll never sell it to the American people, because the American people saw that great banner that I showed you the day I was leaving, that God Bless America and Nixon, the hand-painted sign, and then the fellow who came back in the second wave, which...
Kessler.
And
he was great.
Praising the people who stood behind the president. Oh, my God.
And also, they're all saying, as you note, virtually all are saying, that the peace protesters prolonged
the war. Yeah, exactly. Now, we said
that
watched that Agronsky show last night. Of course, I watched that. I still do.
Oh, sure, you have to. You got to know what they're thinking.
I hate it. God, I just get so mad. But I watched them last night, and they were kissing and moaning about the Watergate. But then Mark Childs, who isn't often on it, said something very interesting. He said, of course, it's very unlikely that in our lifetime now we will see a Democratic president elected. because the majority thought. I mean, you have captured the. He didn't give you this much credit. He did it backwards. He said that the majority had sort of taken this tack that they're on right now. That
there was the stupid sort of racist.
Because they don't know anybody.
Yeah, they had threatened. It's just too bad. But they are the majority. Right?
Now, but
yeah.
Damn it, it's the majority. So it doesn't matter who the Democrats decide to nominate. Well. The significance of that is what he's really saying is that so long as the Democratic Party is in the hands of the McGovernite, it can't win.
And there's no way that Straws can get it out of their hands, in my because basically the best indication of that is what's happening in the House Democratic Caucus. You know, they've changed the rules. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
They've destroyed the open rule. They've destroyed the seniority system and everything else, which is a terrible thing in the long run. But in terms of the short run, this is bound to continue to split the Democratic Party right in the grind.
Exactly right.
Right down the heart.
And as Bud Brown pointed out, I saw I read one of his press conference reports while I was in Europe, as he was pointing out the number of Southern Democrats who were in districts that you carried who are over 65. Now, those fellows, a lot of them are friends, of course. And
that's right, but we got to go after every one of them.
Now.
They either have to come over.
That's right.
Or they're going to go out. We're not going to give any of them a free ride.
But
this time.
Mood of the country, that Alaska election, I thought was terribly significant.
Do you really?
Yes, sir. Because that fellow was not he's not a particularly charismatic.
I met him, I know him,
You know, he's not a strong fellow.
Of course, there are not many charismatic people from Alaska, but, anyway,
the point is that he ran on your coattails. And
all the way.
Solidly.
He sent me a wire.
Oh, just solid Nixon. And the other fellow ran film clips of Ted Kennedy supporting him.
Yeah.
You had a little, Alaska is a swing state. Alaska can.
That's right. It's always close.
It's always close. But this fellow won. I haven't seen the final figures, but it was a pretty good margin at the point I read it.
Yeah, it's about 53-47, which is very good in Alaska. But
damn good.
But I was so glad he won. It was an off year. And
well, I have something in my mind. It goes back to 1957. It was an off year. The first election was in a similar district, which had gone back and forth, and the Democrats won it. It seems to me after the 56.
Yeah, landslide.
Mm-hmm. Landslide of Eisenhower's and yours. I'm trying to remember who it was, but I was going to check that.
Yeah, there was one.
There was one, and I remember it depressed me because it was just
sort of made you wonder. Made you wonder.
Yeah, but you see what I think has happened. I think you have, and of course the polls show it. My God, you have solidified support after the election, and I think
our major domestic problem, of course, is going to be food prices. There's not a damn thing we can do about it. I'm going to do some things in terms of the PR on it, but nothing we can do about having them moderate until about July. They'll begin to come down, but I think we can ride that through. But it's a terrible problem. You can't freeze them. No way. I've worked it out, and there's just no way that if we freeze them now, it'll take care of it now. But the damn prices will be up in 1974, and that's worse.
Yeah, that would be worse.
Much worse. You can't. The idea of just doing it now just won't work. We've got to look. When I want them to be better is in 74.
Yep. Though you would not want this issue cutting right now if this were an election year, because this would hurt.
Right.
It's a damn shame in a sense that it's the only cloud on that horizon.
We got to have some though. You can't everything.
One.
Everything can't be good. And
I've never known a time when more things were good though, Mr. President.
There are quite a few.
There really are. I mean, you are so right on this issue with the Congress of spending. Not spending per se, but taxes against.
Well, they're making perhaps some headway on the compassion issue, but I don't know.
I don't think so.
We can't do a damn thing about it.
Well, I say I don't think so. I haven't. I saw that Evans and Novak poll on Friday, which you undoubtedly saw. Very interesting poll taken in St. Louis, which really showed.
everybody. Do you favor more billions for education? Do you favor more billions for the poor? Yeah, they'll say yes by a factor of 70 to 30. But if, on the other hand, are you willing to pay more taxes for education? Are you willing to pay more taxes for the poor, more taxes for urban renewal? They'll say no by 70 to 30. See?
Exactly right.
And that's the way we have to frame the issue.
Well, I think that's the way, I personally think...
And I've been framing it that way all the time.
Well, and I think that...
Americans don't want to.
I think if there's the controversy in this area doesn't bother me. As I told Bob, I hope there's a good bit of controversy, because that's the way you're going to keep that issue before the public. And they have reached a point where they are, just as we've talked before, 10 years ago, you couldn't challenge Medicare or aid to education.
That's right.
You'd be murdered in the Northeast. You'd be murdered in any big industrial state. Today, that's where you get your predominance of the Peter Brennan type of guy who just doesn't want that program.
Right.
And the next government is going to...
How's your law firm coming? You got it set up yet, or
yes, sir.
Just starting?
The reason that I didn't get your call this afternoon, I was in the process of moving.
Good.
Boxes into... We're temporarily in the Federal Bar Building. And next month, we move into the building just a half a block.
Oh, they couldn't have already known.
Well, unfortunately, it's a brand new building. It's the American Institute of Architects. Lovely.
You're just going to hang out the... Yeah, well, that's all right. That's all right.
You're well, I'm in the old law firm space, which I don't like being, but because I wanted to go in and have it mine right from the start, but we're doing fine.
Right. We've got... How many lawyers are you finding?
20 lawyers now. I don't want...
How many will you make partners?
About half of that are partners. They're
but with very different percentages, I presume.
Yes. Actually, we need more young fellows.
You mean more basically associates that work for salaries.
That's right. That's what we need more of. That's what you make your money off of.
That's right. Selling their time.
That's right.
That's right.
Work the hell out of them. But this is I'm very impressed with these fellows. They're a couple of them are lifelong Democrats. So
good.
They're solidly, well, they've never been political.
We don't care whether they're for us or not, they will be now.
They've got a very large investment in me, they're for us. And they're going to work like hell for us. This fellow Shapiro's very, very close to Bob Strauss, I find out, on a personal basis. So that's not
right.
Bad to have that.
That's right.
That entree, if you need it on a few things.
Good.
The rest of the firm I've been shaping. I've taken Henry Cashin with me. And
that's good. He's good.
He's not much of a working lawyer, but a great.
Great front man.
Yeah, great front man.
Great business getter.
And then we've got a couple of young, bright fellows that were in the Commerce Department.
That's good.
Very sharp, very good lawyers. One who worked, I think, as a kind of said he knew you before you were president. He worked in your firm in New York. Fred Lowther is his name. Very bright.
Yes, very good.
He was a law clerk there.
Any of those guys that you get out of one of those firms is bound to be good because they just put them through hell.
Well, I think they've done a pretty good job of putting a crew together, and I want to. The thing I'm worried about is I don't want to get too immersed in individual client matters, because I want to keep time to do the things that'll help.
Right. You can do both, though. You can do both. You could just. You'll have to spend the time. I mean, these clients don't want to just come in and see the boys. You've got to touch them up, and then...
That's the problem, is being able to keep them happy and still... I'd really like to keep half my time free if I can do it, because...
Right. You can do that, I'm sure.
There are things I want to do. Among other things, I still want to put a combine together to take that goddamn Washington Post. We have really...
You really think there's a chance?
Oh, I have the formula, Mr. President. I talked to Walter Annenberg, because we stayed with the Annenbergs and... London.
Does he think there's a chance?
Oh, yeah. I explained the system, the way to him, and he got very interested. Of course,
he hates them because they did him in.
Just despises him. And, Kay Graham used to be a friend of his.
I know.
And when she turned on him,
do you think he could get interested?
Well, I try.
If he would just do that rather than go out and buy pictures, God, that'd be great.
It would be fantastic. And
he can influence the course of the world, not just America, but the world, more than anything else, by owning that paper. In other words, the Washington Post is the most influential paper in America today, in Washington, in America, and therefore in the world.
It really is. Oh, hell,
because it's the one the everybody in Washington reads. They've got nothing. nothing else to read.
I hate to say it, but all through Europe, that goddamn Paris Herald Tribune.
I know, powerful.
As powerful as the Dickens. Not, I'm sure it isn't a moneymaker.
Oh, no, no, no. They only do it for the other purpose.
But the influence of it, the impact of it.
Boy, Walter, I would just see that. I just don't. If I were a wealthy man, you know, I'd take $100 million. Is that what it takes about?
Oh, that's only if one way fails and you end up having to buy your way in. I think you could. Shapiro and I are convinced that we've studied the cases. We're convinced that we could destroy her on the grounds that she has created a privileged class of stock, which she won't sell. And
what would you do? Buy some stock and then sue?
Yes. Well, you'd buy some stock. You'd make an offer for the assets at something above their market value. She would, which we've now dropped by 25%. Because of the things that are happening.
Yeah.
And then you would go in and say if she would refuse it, of course she would not sell the assets at something above the market value to the shareholders. So you would go to the shareholders and you'd say, well, your stock is worth $28. We've just offered you the equivalent of 40, and she won't accept. And then there's a whole line of cases on this where you either compel her to sell or that she has to then pay the stockholders. I mean, there's all sorts of remedies.
It cost her a lot of money.
Oh, God. Well, I don't think she could stand it. I think it would flicker, because I think I think we could get her thrown off the American Exchange, which would further drop the price of the stock. I mean, there's a lot of... You just need one fellow with a line of credit that's enough to back you up if you... Not for the litigation, but for the... in the event she were to say yes, well, then you would have to go in with $100 million. And, I had Scaife.
Well, that's a weak read. I don't. Anybody that's quite that irrational, I think, is a weak read.
Well, it's the bottle with Dick.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, he just goes off.
The irrationality is not due to any basic thing, but anybody that hits it that much, you cannot deal with on a confidential basis. I know that. I just know it. So you just can't do it.
No, and he gets all excited about it, and then he goes off on one of his 2-week trips, and he's gone. And his people can't do a thing, so it's...
Well, Walter'd be the guy if he'd only do it.
Well, he might be. We set up... He got so damned interested that he and I set up into the wee hours of the night talking about it.
Great.
He may, when he comes back frequently, so I'm going to stay with it. That I just mentioned that, but it's one thing that I... God, I'm going to figure a way to do it, because that damn newspaper just...
Is there anybody else that, besides Walter? I mean, oh, God, there's bound to be. There's all sorts of...
Well, I can put a combine together.
You ought to get together with Maury. Just ask Maury who some of the people are. He must know.
Yeah, George...
He knows everybody that, you know, he knows all of the big ones, and see whether, you know...
Maury might be... I didn't thought of talking to Maury about that.
I would? I'd say, look, who's interested in doing this? Let's go. I think it may be a combine.
We could put a group together. I think it would be a hell of a thing to do. You know, that damn newspaper, I saw that, speaking of Harris polls, I saw that fantastically good Harris poll.
Yeah, the last one. Oh, yeah, you'd think we wrote it.
On the people, on how he rated rated you. And
yeah.
The Washington Post hasn't printed that.
They haven't?
No, sir.
I'll be darned.
I checked on it Friday. 200 newspapers have printed that, and not the Washington Post. And, of course,
if it were the election, we could raise the point, but no more. You see, they won't either. They'll say, go to hell.
You mean with the Post?
Yes.
Oh, hell, I don't think we can do a damn thing with the Post.
No. But you remember, during the election period, they'd print it, wouldn't they?
Clawson would call them up and just raise hell, and then they would print it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I suppose he could on this one, but they'll...
They aren't going to print anything like that.
The feeling... No.
I just let her go. Let her go.
The feeling is so intense right now that...
I'll give them some benign neglect.
Our people are circulating this. I checked Friday, and Dick Howard,
the poll
is getting it around to the Congress, and the
Congress is where it's needed.
That's right. And Jesus, yes, on these issues, the
governors
that they're fighting. It's this really this is one hell of a good poll. But the Post is one target. We're having some fun also with the networks. And I will continue to. You might have seen Bill Buckley's great column today on the...
No, I didn't.
Oh, he had a great one on the Whitehead bill. Or the Whitehead proposal.
Mm-hmm.
He sticks it to the network. Of course, as only he can write it.
Boy, he can. and you get enjoy your. Be sure you charge plenty of fees.
Well, it's,
you know, you, one thing you don't know, you don't really know. Many lawyers don't know how to charge anymore. But here, just remember what Clifford gets out of them.
Those are obscene.
Obscene is right.
Obscene, absolutely.
They obscene when he goes out and plays golf with somebody and sends a bill for $100,000.
That's exactly right. I know. I took one client away from him before in the old days. I know what he was charging. We won't do that, but we'll...
Yeah. Well, I'll get enough.
We'll make enough to it. It's good to hear your voice.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.